Local News, Culture, and NPR.
Hello, 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 and live for the Liberty Studios. It's the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We have a packed show for you tonight, but before we get to that, our phones are still open and we need your help more than ever. Give us a call here at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. In case you haven't heard, Congress has officially defunded us. That's right. We are losing 25% of our budget due to a congressional vote to pull back money already promised to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, funding that helps pay for our programming, our staff, and everything else that keeps this station running. So now more than ever, we need your help to fill that gap left by Congress. Again, that number is 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. And I'll be honest, the news wasn't what we hoped for, even though we sort of saw it coming and it still hit hard. And yet hearing your support today over these past couple of days, past couple of hours, just say, has been incredibly inspiring. Personally, it's fired me up. It reminded me of why we do this work and why we fight for local public radio. And you and what I figured out, and I have here live in the studio, I have Rosie and Jason. And what I've been thinking about today is that the folks in our community deserve to know what's going on at town board meetings, deserve to know what's happening in our community. And that only happens when our reporters are on the ground. And thanks to you, that's what we were able to do that. But we built up this newsroom in the past couple of years, which is something I'm very proud of. And the new voices you've heard on the air in the past couple of days, this summer we brought in four amazing new interns, and now we have a full-time multimedia reporter joining us on our team. So yes, we're doing the work, and with your help, we can keep doing the work. So give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. And as I said, having studio with me live is Rosie Starr and Jason Dole.
Hey there. Hey there. How you doing?
Hey there. Hey there. Yes, and boy, I'll tell you, for me, it's a real honor to be with Jason and Patricio because they have built this local edition for Radio Catskill over the years. And it's one of the examples of how Radio Catskill has been growing over the last 35 years. But during the pandemic, they kept us on the air with all the local issues going on and the services that are needed. And I'm so impressed with how the two of you, 5 days a week, you are on this local edition interviewing people around the state and locally. And the audience has taken notice, and this fun drive is an example of that. And if you want to keep it up right now, it's 845-482-4141 or go online at wjffradio.org.
Thank you so much. And we want to say a big thanks to Antoinette at Upward making big donations. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you so much. We do have a $250 challenge from a generous longtime listener in Pennsylvania, and now we have just $50 left to go on that challenge. So we're just looking for $50 or more. $50 or more here during the local edition, 845-482-4141. I am excited about the House of Radio Catskill. $50 or more. Give now. WJFFradio.org.
The House of Catskill. I like that. Radio Catskill. 845-482-4141 or donate online at WJFFradio.org. And I say this past couple of hours has been, I think, invigorating, I guess. It's been inspiring. I would say it all because of Rosie. As soon as she came in the studio, the phone started ringing like crazy.
I've actually technically been asleep all day, and this is so invigorating. It's like making it seem like I'm actually awake and moving around and functioning. So thank you for the energy, folks. Yes, it's been great.
The energy. People have realized what's at stake here, and the people have spoken. Jason has inspired them to get online and go and call us, but let's keep it up.
We all have, and thank you everybody that's helping. Thank all our volunteers that have been helping out behind the scenes and all the staff that's working on this, but we aren't done yet. And in fact, in many ways, the hard work is just beginning. That's why we're asking you to stand with us today. Please stand with us now. Give what you can. 845-482-4141. Go to WJFFradio.org.
That's right. 845-482-4141 or donate online at radio, WJFFradio.org. One of the things that, you know, we brought up here is the news connections that we have now with other radio stations and the organization that we are now part of, the New York Public News Network. And it's just been fantastic. Actually, we're talking to some folks from other stations in Slack today, and everyone's feeling the same. Everyone's sort of commenting to each other, like, how are you doing and how everyone's doing. And we're all in the same boat here. We also sort of all have to sort of help each other. So I mean, the reason I mentioned the New York Public News Network is that we have our first piece right now from the New York Public News Network. Incarcerated women at the Ulster County Correctional Facility tell their stories for a new art exhibit in New Paltz. And WAMC's summer intern Samantha Stolbaum brings us more.
So I'm Marilena Ferrer-Harrington. I'm the executive director of UNISON.
For the past year, Mary Elena Ferrer-Harrington has worked with incarcerated women at the Ulster County Jail in a pilot art program. What started as a way to give inmates a creative outlet, funded by an $8,000 grant from Arts Mid-Hudson, is now on view at Unison Arts in New Paltz in a new exhibit called Voices Unbound.
We want them to be comfortable working with images and with the language of visual art so that they can understand and also think about composition, think about how to use different symbols or elements that, you know, that can put forward whatever message or story they would like to tell.
Each week, Ferrer-Harrington set up stations at white folding tables to help inmates explore their stories. Supplies were somewhat limited: colored pencils, erasers, magazine photos, and safety scissors. But with prompts suggesting the women create storyboards, self-portraits, or collages, the results were abundant. When asked about her favorite piece, Ferrer-Harrington points to a 16-frame storyboard.
It's a story of migration and how, after months and months crossing through the infamous Darien Gap and being arrested at the border and having gone through a lot of hardship, she found herself arrested. But also we have here her dreams. They are in Spanish because she's learning English. One of her dreams is to continue taking classes of English and to be back with her children and her family and to know Miami and to, you know, to enjoy things that life has to offer.
All of the artists in Voices Unbound are anonymous, and that's partly due to the nature of working in a jail. Sometimes participants will only be there for a few days, while others could be there for weeks. But being anonymous allowed participants to tell stories they might not otherwise publicly share. A similar freedom is on display in Eyewitness, an exhibit alongside Voices Unbound. It's by New Paltz's Tona Wilson, a painter and book artist who spent years working as a Spanish interpreter within the court system, primarily in immigration. Due to the nature of her work, she was often unable to share details, but creating art provided her the right outlet to process what she's seen.
I'm not great as a portraitist, which is good. So it really is. Like, I'm not good at,
so
like, getting, but gestures I can get. And I figure a gesture, you know, anybody could have that gesture.
Most of Wilson's work consists of glass paintings inspired by her sketchbook drawings, with photos of her sketches next to the finished piece. She also has two books on display. One interactive book showcases the different uniforms you might see in a courthouse. Visitors can mix and match black robes of judges, stilettos worn by lawyers, and the jumpsuits worn by inmates. One painting depicts a case that was particularly upsetting for Wilson. It shows an immigrant being led out of the courtroom in handcuffs by a man in a suit, while two officers stand by. Wilson says the man had been in court for a separate case, not for an immigration hearing.
I was sitting next to the defendant day after day after day after day, and, you know, you translate for them all through the trial. And he was talking about how he was, when he got out, he was going to become a citizen because he really wanted to vote. And when the verdict was going to come in, he was praying. But at the end of the trial, he was declared not guilty. And he was so happy, and his brother was coming to pick him up. We were heading outside of the courtroom, and there was this guy in the hallway, and he said, "I'm from the immigration." At that time, it wasn't ICE, and took him into custody on a prior. He had a prior, probably, you know, like shoplifting or something, charge. And I mean, he was so happy 1 minute, and then boom.
Wilson says the piece has new resonance amid the Trump administration's deportation strategies. Still, the goal of both exhibits is to present the work and the stories behind it without judgment. The Ulster County program was also meant to simply give the women something fun to do. In one prompt, inmates worked together to draw a character without knowing what their partners were drawing, ending in a big reveal.
It was like magic for them when we open and they start laughing and then thinking of crazy stuff. And then they started telling stories about these creatures.
Farrah Harrington says she hopes to get another grant to keep the project going. She also wants to be able to follow up with women who have been released.
It's been like really, really very, I don't know how to say, rewarding. Yeah. It's tough, but at the same time, it's very rewarding to see those small differences. You know, when you see in their eyes, they laugh. Sometimes they get too loud. Sometimes they are very, very, you know, beaten up. And, you know, it's hard to really try to raise, you know, a little bit the mood. But they always do something.
The exhibit is on view at Unison Arts through August 2nd. Reporting from New Falls for WAMC, I'm Samantha Stolbaum.
And thank you to Samantha for that. And thank you to the New York Public News Network. And moving right along here from our reporter, Annie Bennett, the state signed a deal with Lactalis, the largest dairy company in the world, and they will pay $75 million to improve two factories in New York, one in Buffalo and the other in Walton. The factory will receive $15 million for internal improvements in exchange for tax credits. The deal was struck by the Department of Commerce subsidiary, Empire State Development, also known as ESD. The upgrades will result in a 30% boost in output and create more than 20 new jobs for Walton, according to the state press release. But how will this impact Delaware County as a whole? Radio Catskills' Annie Bennett spoke with Allison Stark, the Senior Director of the Industries Development for ESD.
What was the motivation for this partnership with Lactalis? Why is the state excited about this?
Dairy is absolutely booming right now in New York. We're really excited that the dairy industry has kind of taken off the way that it has. So this is not just a win for the communities on good paying jobs, but for the farmers as well. The farmers that are providing this milk to these companies, they're all going to be able to expand and get additional sales. They do a variety of name brands that you see in the store, right? We're talking Belboni, Presidente, Cracker Barrel cheese, Stonyfield organic yogurt. They're a major, major player in the dairy industry. The investment in the Walton facility is specifically going towards increasing their capacity based on market demand. The growth at the facility means that they're going to have to buy more milk from the farmers in not only Delaware County, but surrounding counties as well and across New York State.
And is all of the milk that they're buying coming from New York State?
Yes. So it's really exciting.
The Excelsior Job Tax Credit, what is that? It's funding a lot of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the incentive that we used to kind of seal the deal with Lactalis, make sure that their investment pulls through and we get those jobs and an investment in the community. That tax credit program, we kind of call it our Gold Star program.
Okay, awesome. And the 30% output boost. I'd love to hear more about that.
They're looking at a new HEPA air filtration system, new lab equipment to test their product and the milk that's coming in, new roofing for the facility, boiler upgrades. So beyond the 20 new jobs, the investment, we're looking at $15 million.
Just to clarify, so the $15 million is into the factory, right?
Yes, okay, that's cool. Just the Walton facility.
Got it.
Yep, $15 million and a creation of 20 jobs. They're going to pay taxes to the community that have been going to assist in local community projects, as well as the direct jobs that are involved.
I just want to make sure I'm sort of getting it. So essentially, the state is giving tax credits so that Lactalis will give this $15 million deal to the factory in Walton for improvements so that it can create more product, which is responding to market demand. And by creating more product, they're creating 20 more jobs, and they're also employing more dairy farmers across New York State because all of the dairy that the Walton factory uses is from New York State specifically. And also, the company will pay more in taxes because of the $15 million, and then those taxes will be distributed. I know you sort of mentioned something about that.
When these improvements are made to a building, their assets are going to increase, which makes their tax liability increase. And that tax liability is going to ultimately go towards, you know, things in the community, whether it's a new park, road fixes, whatever the community chooses to spend their taxes on.
Yeah. One of the points of this was sustainability. Are there any sort of requirements for the company or for the farmers to ensure that the dairy we're getting is sustainable?
Nothing specifically on our end. I mean, we do have secret requirements, and we work very closely with the DEC, who's consistently on top of all of the environmental aspects of building a new facility. And every year, once we find out more about how to be more environmentally friendly, those requirements increase. And it's kind of on DEC to assure that's happening.
When you say you work with the DEC, what specifically?
So this is something that we've recently been trying to do a little better, especially on these big projects, specifically dairy. We've just become a closer partnership.
What are some of the measurements that you guys are using to gauge sustainability? Is that being monitored over the years?
We have worked closely on like the climate impact study. I know the agency as a whole has spent a lot of time on that.
Okay. And the sustainability environmentally for all of this isn't really being measured on a state level.
It's not being measured on an ESD level. Now, DEC does make sure that this construction is going to meet our sustainability measures.
Right. By that, you mean just the, you know, the environmental laws that are in place, the DEC makes sure that as they're improving the factory, they're following all these laws.
Exactly.
Okay. But in terms of sustainably going forward, that's not something the state is involved in. That would only be a Lactalis initiative if they chose to do so. Okay.
I just want to reiterate that, like, when we do these types of deals, it really has a larger impact than just on the company. In years past, there was milk dumping across New York State, and they were, you know, begging for more interaction, more sales, be able to grow their herds. This is how we're really trying to assist with that. And all of these new dairy companies that are coming in, and a dairy boom that we're seeing in New York right now, are going to have a really impactful, meaningful effect on the farmers in New York State.
Thank you.
Yeah.
From Liberty, I'm Annie Bennett for Radio Catskill.
And thank you, Annie, for that story. And you can read more of it on our website at wjffradio.org. And we are here. We need your support more than ever. Give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org.
Yes, donate at WJFFradio.org. Last I heard, we still had $50 left to go in this $250 challenge. I don't know what it is about local edition. Everybody likes it, but we don't often get many donations during it. Maybe it's because it's such a short show and we're working so hard on the show. We're not, pushing as hard for donations. Sometimes people donate during it. Hey, if you haven't heard, Congress said, you know what? No more funding for public radio after whatever it was, almost 60 years of public radio. It's not happening anymore. A decades-long effort to defund public media finally paid off. Now we're going to lose a quarter of our budget. So the fundraiser that we just did, that was when we were planning on having 25% more of the funds than we're going to have by the end of this year. So we're trying to get whatever we can. Thank you to everybody that's given what they could so far. But tonight we're trying to really just ask you to support us in this time of dire need, because the need is more dire than ever. I've done, this is my 74th or 75th fund drive over my 25 years here. And in almost all of those fund drives, at some point somebody would be like, well, imagine if Radio Catskill wasn't there. Well, I'm telling you, you know, yesterday, today, tomorrow, these are the days where you can imagine that better than ever before. The threat is clearer than ever. The moment is more serious than it's ever been. So big thanks to everybody who's been standing up. And like, we need the financial support, but we also just need, it's just so good to hear from so many people can see the seriousness of this moment, are standing with us, standing for us. If you don't have something to give, spread the word to others so that they can help us stand too. If you do have something to give, do give now.
Yes. And Jason and Patricio, I think that maybe people might be eating dinner right now, which is why the phone's not ringing. But we'll give them a chance to listen to you. I'd like you to explain to the audience, you've really built your news team with different personnel. Can you just talk about the recent additions? Because I listen to the local edition and I hear new voices, new sources.
Well, this summer we normally get interns, but this summer we have four fantastic interns, three from NYU, one from SUNY New Paltz. And in March, we hired, the wonderful multimedia reporter we have, Kimberly Izar.
Yeah.
And, it elevated our newsroom so much. Her reporting is fantastic. She's so professional, so well on the air. And it just elevated our newsroom. And it's because we, in the past couple of years, myself, Jason, and Tim, it really has sort of built up a newsroom that we could get a person like Kimberly. And Kimberly came in here, and from the day one, she started running with the news. Mm-hmm. And she did fantastic. And actually, her first news story that she did for us actually won an award.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And I always said that's when it felt. I never felt like we had a newsroom until she was here. It wasn't that we did. Right. It was just everybody that was making news, the three main staff people, we were doing two other jobs too.
Right.
But then to have like a dedicated reporter come on, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a real,
yeah.
This is a real editorial team. And now with four news interns at the same time, I'm kind of like, boy, I don't even need to say anything at the meeting anymore. I'm just the anchor, basically.
Yeah, but my role has changed in some ways, just because instead of doing like the majority of the reporting, things like that, now we have like Kim, like I said, who's a full-time reporter. Just all she worries about is just doing reporting. That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. And I'd like the listener to really understand and appreciate that right now. If you can appreciate that kind of local dedication, could you give us a call at 845-482-4141 or go online? We don't want to interrupt your dinner, but we're trying to make a challenge here. I think we have what $50
left to go.
Yeah, there's
still
one person.
$50. So donation $50 or more. Right
yeah,
now.
Just if somebody can just go online right now, wjffradio.org, and pledge $50. I'd like to support these this local edition. These guys work hard 5 days a week, and they're reporting on local news. This is a treasure to have in our community.
Well, Rosie, I have to correct you there. Sometimes it's 7 days a week.
I was going to say, sometimes 7 days a week, but you know, maybe we're not working as hard those other 2 days. 845-482-4141. I'm like, Rosie's like, I don't want to interrupt your dinner, but chew on this. You know, you've got to support this station. 845-482-4141. Go to wjffradio.org. Thank you so much, Rosie. Yep.
And now that with the addition of Kimberly Izar, she was able to, it was perfect timing because Rosie's taking a hiatus from Farm and Country, and she was able to step in, her along with Ronald Kelson. Sometimes we don't talk about Ronald sometimes on the air, but Ronald's the person behind the scenes who's doing a fantastic job in the production and helping with, I finally learned his official title today was production coordinator.
Well,
yes,
he's a very talented young man. He's able to learn all the tricks of digital technology, and he's always has a smile on his face. I mean, he's on first base, second base, and third base, hitting a home run every day for Radio Catskill.
Yeah, he's doing a great job on Farm and Country of there. And Rosie, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but have you been listening to the new Farm and Country?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've supported. I keep going online every other day to support. But yes, I absolutely. I adore Kimberly's work. She's, I admire her style. I'm so eager to learn from her. Her journalistic style is very impressive. She has a nice way of handling the show. She made some format changes that I really love, putting Star Talk in the middle and, I admire her and I'm so grateful. She's like an angel that descended from a cloud. Well,
thank you so much for, being so gracious and so kind and so eager to, you know, knowledgeably pass the torch, because that's how we share the light. We pass the torch. Your donation to the station helps us build up the next generation of reporters, even in this moment when responsible news outlets and journalists are under greater threat than they've ever been under before. We have the next generation of journalists here with us doing good work that they believe in, and they respect the craft and they do it well. That is worth your support, because those are the people that are going to get us through what happens in the next coming decade. So support that here. Your dollar goes so many places that you don't even realize when you support this station. Give what you can now in our moment of most serious need that I've ever seen in 25 years here. Call 845-482-4141. Go to WJFFradio.org.
I really want to ring the bell. We just need that donation.
The bell is just sitting here. you know, give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at WJFFradio.org. Actually, since the news broke that Congress defunded us, we've been other news organizations have been reaching out to us to get a comment on what's happening. And we actually had a reporter here today in the studio. And one of the things he asked me was, well, what's the difference between commercial radio and public radio? And, you know, for some reason, I never really thought about that. And I think one of the things that we have here and love here is that we have able to do long-form interviews and long-form news stories and have programs like Farm and Country on the air. And one of my programs always when I moved up here was Farm and Country, and driving up around Saturday mornings, driving around. I remember specifically this one episode. I was driving from my father's house, and you had an episode on, I won't say knotweed, the big stuff that grows like that looks like bamboo.
Yes, an invasive plant, knotweed.
Right now, and it was just at my father's house. I was driving down. I was hearing the episode of knotweed, and I remember how this guy made three plots of trying to find out which is the best way to get rid of knotweed.
Steve Schwartz.
He
was working on an experimental how to manage knotweed. That's nice of you to remember that. And he's a wonderful person in our community. He's with the BioBlitz. He does a lot of work in our community. Steve Schwartz. He lives up in Equinox. Yeah.
So that's the stuff that we can't get anywhere else because it's personal, it's local. And if you support that, give us a call here, 845-482-4141. But guess what? We have some good news. Get ready, Rosie.
Oh, good. I'm ready with the bell.
Catherine and Joe in Starlight, PA has closed the challenge.
Ooh, thank you.
Thank
you so much. Starlight, Pennsylvania, Catherine and Joe. That's nice. Thank you.
Yes, that's fantastic. See, 845-482-4141 or donate online at WJFFradio.org. That's the difference between commercial radio and public radio. We get the stories like this, and we get also to hear from the community because we serve the community. Yeah. And now and during these times, and Leona, I don't know where Leona is from, and Anonymous to close out the challenge.
Okay, Anonymous. See, this is what's so beautiful about radio. You never know who's listening, but someone always is. And people are kind. When you ask, you may receive. And thank you so much. We've asked and we are receiving from our audience. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, and another person that helped us close out the challenge, Leona, said, you are the gift.
Thank you.
And it's true. Like we're wrapping up here in local edition, but you mentioned the pandemic, and that's one of the things I mentioned to the reporter who came in. Because during the beginning of the pandemic, I was a volunteer, wasn't hired yet, and it was scary. You know, we had the national news, we had all the stuff, but we didn't know what was going on locally. And while we're grateful to have two newspapers here in Sullivan County, the Real Reporter and Sullivan County Democrat, but we wanted to hear that voice. And Tim and Dan started doing interviews during All Things Considered, and it was great to have that little light in the darkness of and to find out what was happening with our local Sullivan County Public Health, our local county government, and what they were doing to the pandemic. And that was such a beacon of hope.
Yes, Radio Catskill literally kept us all connected during that time. We were all isolated, and Radio Catskill kept us connected. And since then, we've had tornadoes and terrible snowstorms and thunderstorms and power outages. I mean, Radio Catskill is here. And I, as much as I don't like hearing that emergency broadcast system, when it goes off, I always say, now just sit tight, because that's a very important thing that they're testing that to make sure that, because that's one of, historically speaking, radio has always been there for emergencies for the community, and they continue to be that way.
Yes, so definitely. So if you support that, give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at WJFF Radio. And local edition is one of the results of the pandemic. it got birthed out of the pandemic because we needed a show to let the people know what's happening.
That's right.
And on a daily basis. So if you support that, give us a call here at 845-482-4141. Rosie, we have 20 seconds left before we get into the daily. Any last words?
The last words are, we appreciate everyone for whatever amount you can give. Let's continue to keep this spirit going. We appreciate that you're standing with us. 845-482-4141 or go online at wjffradio.org.